We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All systems are go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van
Vliet! All right, welcome back to another audio adventure on Insight. I'm CVV, Chris Van Vliet, and in a sea of podcasts, thank you for choosing to spend your time with us. If it's your first time here, I'd be honored if you took a second to hit follow wherever you're listening right now. This is a beautiful conversation with a beautiful man. And I say beautiful because that's a word that Darby Allin uses quite a few times here. There's so much more to him than what you see on AEW in his matches and in his promos. And I hope that his words here touch you and inspire you as much as they did for me. You're going to be blown away by this. Take a screenshot. Let us know what resonates with you the most from this conversation. Tag us on social media. Darby is at Darby Allin on both Twitter and Instagram. And I'm at Chris Van Vliet. That's on Twitter and Instagram. And Chris.VanVliet if you happen to be on TikTok. You can also check out our back catalog of all of our interviews that we've ever done at ChrisVanVliet.com. Our fan of the week is John JT Martin, who says, grateful. Hi, Chris. I've been sick and laying in bed all week, and your podcasts have helped me to stay entertained while recovering. I'm grateful for your incredible content and for my incredible wife, Aggie, who's been taking care of my incredible son, Austin. That's a lot of incredibleness there. I like it. I just want to let you know that I appreciate all of your interviews and your insight on each and every podcast and would be grateful if you could do a shout out to the best mommy in the world, Aggie, because she deserves to hear how grateful I am for her during this difficult week. Thank you so much. Please keep up the incredible work. Well, thank you, John JT Martin, and thank you, Aggie and Austin, for being incredible. And thank you for leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. I read one on every single episode, so if you want to take some time to leave a few words, leave a few emojis on there, I will shout you out here for free, just like that. No Patreon required, no donation required, for free. Just leave a few words on Apple Podcasts. Appreciate you. Thank you in advance. The first interview I did with Darby Allin was about 2.5 years ago, and a ton has changed since then, both in the world and in the wrestling world and in Darby Allin's world. And it's so exciting to see everything that he has going on right now, and I can't wait to see what's next for him, both in wrestling and beyond. You're going to love this. Please welcome Darby Allin. Man, it is good to see you again.
It's been a while.
It has. It's been like almost 2 years, I think.
Yeah, since our last interview.
Yeah.
When I first started with AEW. Man, have the times changed.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if we would get a face paint Darby Allin today or what we have right now. This is quite a surprise.
Well, to be fair, I'm about to jump on an airplane pretty soon, and I am known to wear my face paint on the airplane, but I'm not in the mood to look like a tweaker through the airport right now.
So what happens when you show up at TSA with half a face full of face paint?
They think that I'm a rock star or something like that. And then they start questioning me because I sometimes carry my thumbtack skateboard. And they actually let me through a TSA with the thumbtack skateboard, which is very surprising. But
yeah, that sounds really dangerous.
Yeah, but they're cool with it. So
where are we right now? It looks like Hoodlum on the behind you here.
Yeah, it's my basement.
Okay.
Yeah, I got my my whole basement. I got the skate ramp over there, the wrestling ring right there, and there's a actually one second. Let me see this. I gotta flip my camera.
Okay, let's see. Oh my gosh.
There's holes in the ceiling because we had a concert here last week and the dude played like right here and we were mosh pitting in the ring. There's a circle pit in the ring and I picked up my buddy and threw his head through the ceiling. So there's some ceiling tiles missing. Yeah, that's it was a good time. I had a fucking lovely time.
I expect an invite next time, all right?
Yeah, I don't think you'd want to play. We had challenges where we filled up the whole bathtub with hot dogs. There was thousands of hot dogs, and we went bobbing up hot dog man.
Oh my gosh.
It was a good though, dude. Best Halloween party ever.
I love that no matter what success you've achieved in AEW and no matter how many interviews you've done or pay-per-views you've done or TV channels you're on, you're still the same Darby.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. I don't know, dude.
I've known you for a while. I've known you for a long time. I've had the great fortune of being your ring announcer several times at Blueprint Pro Wrestling in Deerfield Beach, Florida. You've definitely come a long way. Was this always the plan for you?
Yeah, dude. It was always the plan to for me to do things on my terms and get as far as possible on my terms because money's good, but dignity's better. I feel like I've kept my whole dignity intact on the road to success in AEW, which is amazing. But yeah, dude, this is what I dreamed of, having a ring in my basement and escape ramps and 14 years. Because last time we talked, I lived in an apartment. But now I bought a house with 14 acres and just crazy shit here. So I have all my friends and move in and we just do crazy shit all day.
I think I'm always so surprised when I see that you're still doing like insane skateboard stunts. And I'm wondering if anyone in AEW is like, hey, Darby, that's great, but like, please don't break any bones.
They know that I'm filming a new skate video right now and I'm about done with it because we're actually coming out with a Darby Allin skateboard collab with Death Wish skateboards. It's pretty big. I got the logo tattooed on my cheek right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're coming out with the Darby Allin Death Wish skateboard coming out, and I wanted to put a video part out for it. So they know I know my limits. Eight, my top priority, and I can't show up to work with a broken hip.
Have you had a worse injury in the wrestling ring or while skateboarding?
Skateboarding, by far. Yeah. Jesus. It's actually kind of a crazy story. Going down this big hill, like this ravine thingy, and I hit a crack at the bottom, and then my elbow went into my ribs, and I thought I broke my ribs, and then my kneecap smashed in the wall, and then I was like laying there, and I thought like I just broke everything. I'm like laying there on the ground, and all of a sudden I'm laying in a red anthill. So it just got worse and worse, and I thought I broke my wrist, and had to wrestle the next week. It was fucked up. I thought, yeah. Nobody knows that.
Wow. And then red ants on top of it.
Yeah. So,
oh, man. And
I contemplated going to the hospital for 3 hours. I was just like, coughing up blood, I'll go. But I never did. So I didn't go.
Yeah. I think you're insane, man. When was the first time that you saw a fan with a face paint like yours?
Definitely wasn't on the independents. I'll tell you that. I can't remember the exact time, but I know whenever it was the first year in AEW where there's Halloween, I just start seeing a lot of people, especially like every year since then, it's grown and grown. Like I reposted on my Twitter or my Instagram story and the support is insane. So it's crazy. Then I go to signings like Comic Cons and whatnot. And then I see there's kids in line that have the face paint and, you know, everything. And it's sick. It's very, very sick to see that growth. And, you know, because I don't claim to be a role model, but if people want to look up to me, cool.
Yeah, I feel like you represent something to these fans. What do you think it is that you represent?
Realness. A lot of people are fake, and they have like fake. They play one thing on TV, but in reality, they're like the most boring things. Like their personality, watching like paint dry. But I feel like with me, it's like, oh shit, he's legit. What do you see on the outside of the ring, if not crazier on the outside? So who knows, dude? To me, wrestling is therapy. Going out there is therapy, and getting crazy. That's like, so I think they see that. The fans take notice of that, that this is me.
Do you think it's possible to keep this pace up, like as you keep going?
Yeah, no, I feel great. My body feels amazing. I'm very, like, we all know that I'm straight edge, but people don't know all the work that I put in to feel healthy, and the stretching and the eating right and taking care of myself. And plus, I feel like I don't give my body time to rest every time I'm like skateboarding or doing something active. And that's like the one thing Tony Hawk told me was, he's like 54 years old and he's like killing it on the skateboard still. And he says, just don't stop. Cause the moment you take a break, that's when everything starts like feeling like shit. So, I just be like, dude, after tapings, I'll have this crazy match. Like, I gotta go to the skate park, or I gotta go skate, or I gotta go swim, jump out of a helicopter, whatever the hell I do.
Yeah. Since you are straight edge, what's a vice for you? Like, for some people it's drinking, for some people it's eating ridiculous amounts of food or doing drugs. What's your vice?
Adrenaline junkie. Yeah, like I need to go do something sketchy. I legit get like anxious if I don't do something sketchy like every day. Like I start getting like, oh, like I'm like being lazy, or I'm fucking up or something. And I got like, I feel like I almost broke my toe today riding my dirt bike, but I can show you people my toe. But I felt like I was like, I cracked it on a ladder. There was like a ladder in the yard, and I hit it while riding the dirt bike. And I was like, fuck. So,
You know, I have a video where I swam with alligators in the Florida Everglades. So next time you're in South Florida, I will set you up with Gabby and Chris, and you can swim with a 10-foot alligator in Florida. Sure. If this is something that appeals to you.
I'm down. Like I would be totally, that sounds like a beautiful time. I went kayaking before where there's alligators in the water, but I'm not swimming with them. You know, if I fell off the boat, I'd probably be Aiden, but that sounds like a good time.
So okay, we'll make that happen. Next time you guys are in South Florida, I will hook you up and we'll make this happen.
Yeah. Van Vliet's Gator. Sounds awesome.
What's the scariest coffin drop you've ever done?
I would probably say the one to Ethan Page when I had him in the coffin, only because there's little room for error. And the moment I broke through that coffin, you see the spikes sticking up that it was made. So I could have easily impaled myself. Or I kind of just, you know, hit my head on the rim of the coffin, but there was zero room for error. People are like, do you practice that? I'm like, I don't know how you're going to practice that. You just got to. So that was probably the most like room for error. And I knew, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen to Ethan. I crashed through the coffin and all I hear is him screaming. I'm like, oh, well, I guess I fucked him up.
Also, I'm glad he's still alive.
Yeah, because the camera's not on him, like when he's in there. Not going to be selling it.
Yeah.
For like real screams. And I was like, fuck.
I don't know how you practice a coffin drop, like period, whether it's through a coffin or not. Like, I think the biggest thing about taking a wrestling bump is making it like as you have as much space as possible. You're putting your arms down and you're having the bump go throughout your entire body. I don't know how you do it. How did you do your first coffin drop?
I don't know. I think I was bored of watching people do like 450s or shooting star presses. And I was so like, ah, man, I don't want to fly to look pretty. I want to fly to hurt. And I literally just started falling backwards. And like, people are like, oh, look, and there's zero room for error. You know what I mean? Like when people do like 630s, like the double front flips, I'd hate to do that every night because I feel like I'm like, oh, I gotta, can't slip. If you fuck up a coffin drop, you got issues. Cause it's pretty easy. You just fall back on somebody.
Right. But it's kind of like it's like a trust fall. Like, I feel like there's other people that might try to do a coffin drop and halfway through they'd be like, ah, and they put their hands down or something.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I feel like you just, a lot of it's adrenaline for sure, because, you know, I'm not going to do a coffin drop at practice cold turkey. Like, so
unless, you know, this is the years
I don't know.
Concrete from skateboarding, I think, you know, got me ready.
Jeez. All right. Take me back to the moment when you found out that you were going to be CM Punk's first match in 7 years.
I think it was, I was talking to Tony on the phone, and, you know, it was just, that was it pretty much. And then, you know, you don't believe something until it happens. And then once I cut that promo about the best in the world that aired in North Carolina, I knew that that was a done deal and it was go time. And that was the most high pressure situation ever, because like, I knew, you know, everybody was going to be watching him because it's such a big thing. 7 years, like, holy shit, that's fucking a long time. And for him to leave the way he did in wrestling and to come back, you know, people weren't sure if he was ever going to come back. So when he did, and I was the first opponent, I remember that day, I was so like nervous. I was like in a zone. Like, I've been in a few zones in life, but like life's like, I've lived multiple times, but
I feel like you kind of have.
Yeah. But like life, I was in a zone that day where, I don't know, I felt like in my brain, I was like, it's not going to get more nerve wracking than this. It's not like in a way that's like cool to have moments like that where you mentally get stronger when you know it's done. And yeah, like I remember, because it just started hitting me like hard, because I remember when he left wrestling back in, I think it was 2013 or 2014, one of the two, is the same year I actually started wrestling myself. And then at the time, he was like my favorite wrestler, just because, you know, beyond the straight edge thing, just like the whole punk rock, you know, I don't give a shit about what you think about me attitude. It was very cool as a kid, you know, just being a skate rat like myself, just watching him. Cause, but then it all hit me. I was like, shit, dude, when he left, I was a dishwasher, and, you know, I was fucking, and I was like, dude, like life's a trip. So, you know, I don't know. I got a little teary eyed before that match, and me thing had a little moment. It was fun.
Was it CM Punk that wanted you?
I don't fucking know. I have no clue. I just know that, like, I think, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, I know that he was a fan of my work prior. So, but I don't know if it was like, yo, let me have him. But, you know, it worked out. And there's always, to me, there's always one return match back, you know? So that's a good thing to have for the resume and for life in general. So, yeah, I don't know. I had a fucking lovely time that night. So.
I feel like he must see some of himself in you in the same way that you see some of yourself in him.
Yeah. Like, I could see that. Being younger and stuff like that, you know, he was always said in interviews that if he was a young kid, Darby Allin would be his favorite wrestler. And I thought that was funny because he was my favorite wrestler when I was younger. So yeah, who knows? But yeah, shit was beautiful that night.
It was. I mean, that's a huge high point in your career. If we go the reverse on that, what would you say has been the biggest low point of your career, and what did you learn from it?
Low point, like just in life and like career, like from
sure.
The moment.
Sure, or life.
Oh, I don't know about life. I'll talk about wrestling. Sure. Let me see. I would say the biggest low point had to have been when I was like homeless in my car and I couldn't catch a break. Like, I just didn't know what I was missing mentally. I wouldn't get booked anywhere. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, cause the thing with wrestling is I respect the independents, but I'm happy I don't do them anymore, because a lot of independents was more of not your talent, but more of your friends. And I'm not here to be someone's friend. You know, you either book me because you respect my work or don't book me at all, because I'm not going to kiss your ass and go out to the bars afterwards and hang out with you guys. So that was annoying when I couldn't catch a break. And then I see all these guys that are ass kissing and, you know, being buddy buddies with everybody. And I was like, is that what I have to do? But like my insights told me like, there's no fucking way. Like
Darby, you're not going to do that. So I'm happy I stayed the course because, you know, I couldn't look at myself in the mirror knowing that like I was fake. So,
yeah, I think the biggest lesson to take away from that is like, you've been so true to who you are through this whole process.
Yeah. And that's the thing with wrestling. When I first started, because I dropped out of film school and I told myself, I was like, I'm going to do things on my terms, my way, or else I'm just going to fail. And that's why I said earlier, money's great, but dignity's better, because, you know, I could have changed who I was, because early on people are like, yo, what's with the short shorts and the leggings? I'm like, dude, I like it. That's me. That's me. What I wear. That's like, and, but you know, there's a million things people told me to change, but I was like, no, I'm not doing it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Do you wonder what your career would look like if AEW wasn't a thing? Because you fit in so perfectly in AEW and you're allowed to do seemingly whatever you want. What would your career look like?
Dude, I have no clue. That's the trip. And that's why I don't take anything for granted. That's why I like my ass off when it comes to promo videos outside of wrestling. That's why I work my ass off in the ring, whether it's Dark, Dynamite, pay-per-views, Rampages. Like, there's not a night off for me, like mentally. Like, when I'm there, I'm in a zone. Like, when I come to work, I like to be like left alone. I just change in Sting's locker room. He told me, like, dude, my locker room is your locker room. So he's got his own personal room. So I just changed in there, not because I think I'm better than people, but because I'm so determined to be as great as possible that when I'm around certain other people and their drama and like gossip, it fucks with my head and I don't want to hear it. Like, that's not why I'm here. I'm here to like show the wrestling world what the hell's up. And when I see people take it for granted, it drives me insane. I'm like, yo, AEW changed my life so insanely. Like, I was able to buy this house, travel the world, do all this crazy shit that I never thought was possible and make all these connections. And, you know, that I'm just like, dude, treat it with respect. So that's all. Yeah. Like, I don't know how to say, you know, what my life would have been like, you know, and it's scary to think about, but at the same time, you know, we're here. So,
yeah. Well, what have you learned from Sting, whether it's been actual advice that he told you, or maybe just something through osmosis that you've picked up on from him?
He's so chill in the sense of there's no ego with him. Mm. And I feel the more I'm around the best of the best, whether that's in skateboarding, like when I'm around Tony Hawk or Travis Pastrana, when I'm around him, Sting, the guys that have done the most shit are the most humble and the most nice. And they don't got nothing to prove. It's all the fake ass fucking wannabe people that have never made shit of themselves that are like, have this ego. You know who I am, right?
You don't have to tell people who you are. They should know. So that's what I learned from staying. Just be a fucking good human being and, like, you know, be humble and cool. And a lot of people are like, oh, that's Sting. But, like, you know, to me, like, I look at him like, yo, what up, man? You know, this
shit. I heard a great quote that I think is so applicable here. It's, when you're good, you tell everybody about it. And when you're great, everybody tells you.
Yeah, that's a perfect analogy for this. You know, and me and Sting have grown so much together outside of what people see on TV, just our personalities outside of the ring. You know, we've come so close, and the fans, you know, don't see that part, you know, because originally he was supposed to come in for some cinematic matches and only. And I went to his house in Texas where he had a ring set up, and we started rolling around and training. And I convinced him to actually wrestle in front of a live crowd. And nobody gets to see those moments, you know, behind the scenes. It's just us talking like, no, you got this. Like, you got this, dude. Like, I'm training with you and seeing what you're doing. Let's fucking do it. So that Double or Nothing pay-per-view with me and him versus Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page, like, meant a lot, because you just never thought it was going to happen.
Dude, this is crazy. If it wasn't for your friendship with Sting, Sting might not be wrestling in front of a crowd.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like, he gives other people confidence, you know, and it's cool that, like, I can, you know, help, you know, be like, no, you got this. Yeah, and, like, it's cool to do that on all aspects of life. Like, I do that now with my family and friends, you know, like, just make them do, like, the other week I ran out of a helicopter and we went to the lake, and like, all right, we're jumping out of this fucking helicopter. And it was like, you know, 50 feet, 70 feet. And then I was like, you're doing it. Like, to, like, my dad and my mom and my brothers and my friends that I had there. And it's cool to, like, hype people up, you know? So it's just, that's, like, my favorite thing. Because last year I was like, or had it been about a year and a half ago now, I was doing good in AEW and life was, like, clicking and working, but felt like something was missing. So I went to Rob Dyrdek. He had this hypnotist that he used, because he was about to be let go of all his skateboard companies when he was 24 years old. And he's like, oh shit, like, what the hell? So he went to this hypnotist, and he credits that hypnotist for all his success with Robin Big and Fanny's Factory and Ridiculousness. This guy, like, set him on the right path. So that's what I ended up doing. I went to this hypnotist, the same guy, and everything's been fucking amazing. But I felt like the number one thing was, it wasn't my success that is going to make me happy. It's the success of my family and friends. So ever since then, I was like, yo, we got to do some crazy shit, like, together, and bringing my dad to have a private skate session with Tony Hawk was more rewarding than, like, being the highest rated segment. You know what I mean? Like, mentally, yeah. Art, you know, it's cool to have that. Like, don't get me wrong, from being, like, this nobody to having these crazy, like, high rated segments, like, that means a fucking shitload to me. But it be, like, my family and friends, like, super hyped and happy.
Yeah, yeah. Rob Dyrdek, it's unbelievable what he's accomplished. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for him and his business acumen. And I think what's crazy is, I heard an interview with him recently, and he basically said, everything he's ever wanted in life, he said it out there, he's put it out into the world, and then he's accomplished it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. I do so much meditation and so much shit that, like, 5 years ago I would have been like, you're insane, why are you doing this? But now I'm fucking do it, and it feels amazing, dude. Like, you know, I feel beautiful, like, and I'm, like, ready to just keep growing business wise and I got so much big shit lined up from all aspects of the world and shit coming up that I can't talk about here, but, like, sure. No, I'm fucking hyped.
Like, yeah, what's 5 years from now for you?
Dude, I have no idea. Like, but that's, like, kind of, I do have an idea, actually. I know what I'm going to be doing, but you'll wait to see.
Mainly like little goals is just to have my parents retire and like, so they don't have to work anymore and have them build them a house on my property and do some crazy shit, you know, cause we just like, my mom and dad are crazy. Like they do like all the shenanigans with me and it's fun to have them be like, oh shit. Like we thought our glory days were in our 20s, but no motherfucker, it's right now. Get in that helicopter. We're jumping out.
So, yes. I hope we don't have to wait 5 more years to do another interview though. We'll just see this stuff as it keeps happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I do want to be super respectful of your time. That, you know, we only had 20 minutes. I've already gone over. I'm so sorry about that, but I end every interview talking about gratitude. I start and end every day saying out loud 3 things that I'm grateful for. So Darby, what are 3 things in your life that you're grateful for right now?
I'm grateful for the spot I'm in AEW. I'm grateful for like the fact that I can walk because I do a bunch of shenanigans. And I'm grateful to kill MJF on Saturday at Full Gear.
Geez. Yeah, as we sit here right now, so your next match is with him, Full Gear. He said some like really personal things in that promo. And I'm wondering if before he went out there, he said, hey, is it okay if we talk about X, Y, and Z?
Well, personally, I don't care because I've put it out there in the world, what he's already said. So it's not, you know what I mean? It's like, if you want to do that, go do that. But, you know, I think if something happens and you talked about it, you know, you shouldn't have an issue with other people talking about it. You know, now if I never talked about that shit and he would say that, probably it'd be a little like, oh, like, what? But no, it's cool. I don't give a shit. I'm just ready to go out there and show everybody why the AEW originals, the pillars, so to speak, are going to steal the show. So, and like I said before, no one's willing to go where I'm willing to go to push a match, a story or whatever, you know? So that's the goal. That's what I'm grateful for, is to steal the show.
Why, what's scary is you just keep raising the bar for yourself. And like I feel like your biggest competition is who you were yesterday or who you were in your last match. And as you keep progressing, how are you going to keep outdoing yourself?
I don't know. That's the fun part, dude. Like if someone told me 5 years ago, I'd be accomplished what I accomplished. I'm like, oh, I could die happy.
Yeah.
But now that I've accomplished that, I'm like, no, wait, I got to do this. And no. Honestly, like growing. So who knows, dude? And like, I got some big stuff planned outside of wrestling that should be coming up soon. That is going to show people another side of how crazy I'm going to get. So keep your eyes out. And,
yeah. Dude, I can't wait for it. Thank you so much for chatting with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Chris.
Yeah, man. It's so good to see you. I look forward to seeing you again in person soon.
Yeah, one of these days.
Hopefully, one of these days.
Yeah, man.
I think we could have talked for at least another hour. So that's how long the next interview is going to have to be. But I wanted to be respectful because we were only given 20 minutes for this interview. We definitely went way longer than that, and he had to catch a flight as well. So huge thank you to Darby for opening up with us and just for sharing his wisdom. He's only 28 years old, and I feel like he is very much just getting started. Can't wait to see what's next for him. Snap a screenshot. Let us know what stood out for you the most from this conversation. What really spoke to you? Tag us on social media. Darby is at Darby Allin. I'm at Chris Van Vliet. And share this with a friend who you know needs to hear this today. I'll leave you with the actual quote that I referenced during the interview instead of my paraphrasing of it. It's from the great Walter Payton, who said, when you're good at something, you'll tell everyone. When you're great at something, they'll tell you. Be great, be grateful. We'll see you on the next one for some more insight, my friends.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.